Never say you're not needed. Did you know that every time that a little one is born on this earth, every time that a little one comes into planet Earth, they need people. They need a community around them. They need moms and dads to shepherd them and to guide them. Every single time a little person is born on this earth, they are in need. You know, if you're a mom or a dad, you know that already, don't you? They don't change their diapers on their own. Did you know that? They don't do that. We have a newborn, and she is 7 weeks old, and there's a lot of need that that little one needs from us. It needs, you know, milk, it needs to be changed, needs to be cleaned, and all this stuff. It's like this package deal that happens when a baby comes. It's all this stuff. Little ones need you. And it's not just when they're babies that they need you, when they get a little bit older, when they are you know, in their you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, they need you. When they are teenagers, they need you. Amen for parents of teenagers. Amen. They don't think they need you, but they do need you. And that is a fact of life. And now the reality is when you start thinking about kids and you start thinking about children, you know, they and the support they need and the help that they need and the community that they need, it can be overwhelming at times. You know, I'm just amazed that any child was born before the year 2000 and lived. I really am. Because, you know, we have these certain kind of car seats that you got to buy. You got certain kinds of bottles. By the way, how did kids live before all that happened? You know, how did all that work? I mean, it just blows me away that 2,000, I mean, you know, hundreds of, you know, thousands of years of history and children were born without, you know, like aerodynamic car seats. It just blows me away that they have done that. Well, maybe that the reason they survived and the reason they lived was because they had caring moms and dads or caring grandparents or aunts and uncles or somebody that wrapped their arms around them and cared for them. You know, children are a blessing. Would you agree with me on that today? They are a blessing. They are no doubt a gift from the Lord. And we are just delighted with our two children, Gracie and Hope. We love them and we're grateful that the Lord has given us those children. And we praise the Lord for that. Now it comes again. A lot of care, a lot of toys, a lot of clothes, I'm told that when they become teenage girls, I need to have my wallet ready. Is that true, moms and dads? I'm being told that lots of accessories and things like that happens. And by the way, why is it that little girl toys, like you buy something and then it comes with like 1,000 little bitty pieces you step on in the middle of the night? I'm not for sure why that happens with little girls' toys, but it is. Nevertheless, children are very, very important, and they need us. Now, it breaks my heart. It really does. It breaks my heart when I see a child abused or a child hurt, doesn't it, you, today? It breaks my heart because, you know, they need us. They need the love. They need the care, and they shouldn't be hurt. They shouldn't be harmed. They should be cared for. And, you know, we're so quick to say, yeah, we need to protect our children. Yeah, we need to make sure they don't put forks in electrical sockets. We need to make sure they don't do that sort of thing. But when we step back and we scale back a little bit and we say, what do our children really need? We might buy the aerodynamic car seat. We might put all the little plugs in the light sockets. We might have all the books on parenting that we can get and all of this stuff. We might have our TV blocked for this and that, but are we still giving them what they need? Are we still providing for them in a spiritual way of what they need as children? Are we giving them what they need on a spiritual dynamic? Now, I want to tell you just from Scripture today that the Bible has a lot to say about children, especially Jesus. Now, Kenny, why are you preaching about kids today? Why are you preaching about kids? Well, before we go any further in the text, let me tell you why. I'm excited. You know, this month we're going to be doing a block party down the Heartlands on the 20th, and then that's going to launch our Vacation Bible School. Anybody excited about VBS? Anybody? Jerry's excited. Anybody else excited about VBS? And, you know, and I'm excited about VBS and what's going to happen with Vacation Bible School. And then I'm looking forward to when the school year starts, we're going to launch our new kids ministry. And it's going to be really fun. We're going to do it at the community center that we started off in. We're going to do it on Sunday nights. It's going to be for all ages of kids, from kindergarten up till teenagers. And we're going to have a great time. And I'm excited about what we're doing. So the reason I'm telling you this morning about children is that our church is getting ready to launch into investing into a lot into kids. We're getting ready to launch into investing into a lot of children. And, you know, you might be a mom and dad, and I hope this sermon touches you, maybe to be a better Christian mom and dad. Maybe you're not a parent. Maybe you're a grandparent, and your kids don't even go here. But you got some wisdom, and God has blessed you with knowing how to raise children, and God's blessed you with that. Maybe you have no children, but you love children. And maybe it's your way to wrap arms around babies and little ones and to help them to grow into what Jesus wants them to be. Michael read our passage for us earlier, but I want you to look in Matthew chapter 19. He read it for us. He read the scripture. And we look at verse 13, and the Bible tells us this. It says, then children were brought to him, that is Jesus. Children were brought to Jesus so he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. Then Jesus said, leave the children alone and don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven is made up of people like this. After putting his hands on them, he went on from there. Earlier on, you can read, and I think it's in chapter 18, Jesus also teaches about children. And he warns of the consequences of stopping a child from coming to him. And he warns, he goes a little bit harsher into detail about this. But you see Jesus, and what you learn about Jesus is that Jesus liked kids. There's just no way around it. He liked children. And it tells you something about his nature and his character. You know, you see a lot of pictures of Jesus, and he's got this real stoic look on his face. And he just looks like he's just deadpan, and he's super serious. And there was times like that. I mean, you think about the garden and sweat and drops of blood. Very serious moment. But you know what? He had to have been, when he walked on this earth, he had to have laughed. And he smiled. You know he did. You know he did when he's watching his disciples doing dumb stuff. You know he's just laughing on the side. He's getting kicks out of it. And you think about kids wanting to come to Jesus and crawling all over Jesus. And I'm just asking you, but how many people that are sour and frowned and just mean do kids want to go to? No, they want to climb in Santa's lap, don't they? They want to go to that grandparent who can just eat them up and just swallow them with hugs and kisses and laugh, and that's who they want to be around. So when you think of Jesus, you know if kids were just wanting to crawl all over him and pull his beard and pull his hair and be in his lap, you know this guy liked kids. He loved children, and he welcomed children to come to him. And in this particular story, there's some moms and dads or grandparents or aunts and uncles or somebody. They're bringing these kids to Jesus. And they want Jesus to lay his hands on these little ones and to bless them. And then all of a sudden, something happens. In the midst of bringing these kids there, the Baptists show up. The Baptists show up. And the Baptists say this, don't bother the master. He's busy. Don't bother him. He's got too much on his plate. There's too much important business. There's too much stuff going on. I mean, we're busy. We got to do this. You know, we got to go walk on water this afternoon at 3:00. And, you know, and after that, we got to go bless a bunch of bread and feed a bunch of people. And don't you bother him with just letting kids crawl on him. And don't you love what Jesus said? He checks their email, doesn't he? And he says, stop. What are you doing? Are you that silly? Don't you hinder these little ones from coming to me. And then he goes on to say what? That the kingdom of heaven belongs to the likes of such as these. He says, what are you doing? They should have known better. Like I said, you read a couple before this, and he gives a whole teaching on children about not hindering the children and not stopping them from coming. They should have known better. And here they are, trying to just say that kids aren't important. I want us to know today that children are very, very important. They need us, but more than us, they need Jesus. Did you know that today? They need Christ. And I know we're a church plant. We've reached a lot of folks that have been in their adult age since we've begun the church. But out of curiosity, who here gave their life to, and you know, I'm not trying to embarrass you or anything like that, but who here gave your life to Jesus before you're 18 years old? I'm going to raise my hand first. Just look around. Look around. Look around. Keep it up. Look around. I've done this multiple times. What does that tell you? Tells you that kids are receptive to the gospel, doesn't it? Tells you they're receptive to the gospel. And it's so funny how in so many churches that we just kind of forget about these little people that mean so much to Jesus. We forget about these little people. I want us to know today as we are looking at the passage, we're looking at the text, and we're seeing what it means and what's happening. The Bible is clear. Jesus loves kids, and we should too. It is clear. Jesus loves little people, and we should love them too. There's no question. I want us to see three things real quick from this passage of Scripture real quick. First, I want you to see this, that Christ wants children brought to Him. Jesus wants children brought to Him. Now, I want you to understand that these children could not come to Christ on their own. They were little. They were little. They're under the authority of mom and dad. They are under the supervision of mom and dad. And they have to be brought to Jesus. So that means that a mama or a dad or a grandpa or a grandparent or a neighbor or somebody goes and picks these kids up and literally, physically takes them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is there a lesson to be learned in that? Yes, there is. And here's the lesson. If you want kids who are so receptive of giving their lives to Christ, as we just saw by raising our hand, if you want children to know Jesus, you need to bring them to Jesus. So I'm just going to tell you real quick, mom and dad, mucho responsibility on you right now. Did you hear me? Mucho responsibility on you right now. Mucho responsibility. You don't understand, Kenny, it is a fight to get them ready, to get them to church, to make sure they're not bubblegum in their hair and the same shoes are on the same feet and Johnny doesn't punch Sally in the face on the way over here, you know. And this is what we're dealing with. It's hard. Hey, I know. I know. It's hard. I know. It's tough. Baths and clothes and toys and crazy, insane stuff. I know. But you still got to do it. You don't understand. They don't want to go to church. And guess what? They're not going to want to go to church. They're not going to want to go to church. But here's the deal. If they're under 18 years old and they still live in your house, they still live in your house. I'm sorry for those under 18, but moms and dads, amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. You live there. You get free room, free board, free food. Guess what? You go with mom and dad. Amen. 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 You go with mom and dad. That's kind of how it works. Okay. Now, if you want to go pay rent and buy your own groceries, buy your own food, then you can go to church on your own. Amen. But when they're with you, when you're with mom and dad, guess what? Mom and dad, you get to say so. Biblically, you get to say so. Isn't that awesome today? I thought there'd be more amens on that. I thought you would like that today. You know, you get to say so. And all the kids are, you know, like, oh, this is a horrible message today. I hate this. But it's true. But here's the deal. Mom and dad's got to have the push, the drive, the incentive to get babies close to Jesus. Now, if mom and dad does not know Jesus to begin with, we got a problem. Would you agree with me on that? So if children are going to be brought to Christ, mom and dad, you have to know Christ first. You got to know Jesus first in a personal saving relationship. You need to know Jesus in a personal relationship. Well, Kenny, how can I be saved? I'm so glad you asked. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Understand this. If you need Jesus today, mom and dad, if you know you're a sinner, and you believe that Christ died on the cross and shed His blood, and you're willing to surrender your life to Jesus, He'll save you. Well, Kenny, I've been a pretty rotten parent so far in my life. I've done some pretty horrible things. I've made some bad mistakes. I understand that. But God's grace is enough for you. And God forgives. Even the things that you have a hard time forgiving yourself of, God still forgives. Isn't that good news today? Moms and dads, listen. Jesus can save. And these little ones, when they are under the influence of a mom and dad, growing and learning from mom and dad, again, they're not automatically going to make a decision and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I mean, they might not. They might go their own way, do their own thing. That's okay. But here's the deal. Your responsibility to bring them, and you did what you could. And when it's all said and done, are you going to be able to say, I brought my kids to Christ. I tried my best to bring them in church, tell them about Jesus, to love on them, to get them in kids' church, get them in Sunday school, whatever. I tried in the name of Jesus. And that's what God's doing. Now it's up to them. We don't want any kid just to be drugged down to the altar and make them say some formula, and then we say, congratulations, you're saved, and they're confused as can be and don't understand. That's not what we're about. We're not trying to do that. But we are trying to help kids know Jesus in a real personal saving relationship. And it begins when mom and dad hold their babies, and mom and dad makes the commitment, or grandma and grandpa makes the commitment to be proactive and pressing forward and leading the way. So understand that moms and dads, you have to lead the way. The second thing I want you to see is this, is that Christ wants obstacles removed. He wants obstacles removed. We look back at the text, and it says this, the disciples in verse 13 rebuked them. So they try to stop them. And Jesus said what? Leave the children what? What does he say? Leave them alone. Don't try to keep them from coming to me. Don't stop them from coming to me, is what Jesus said. He just read their email. He got in their face. He said, don't you stop them from coming to me. Don't do that. Matthew 18:6, he says, if you try to stop a child from coming to him, it would be better for you to have a big old rope around your neck tied to a boulder and you chucked in the ocean. Is that serious, yes or no? It'd be better for you to have that than to block a child from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must be very serious, very, very serious about children. You know, when we started a church, it's only been 9 months in the process. We're still growing. We're still figuring out stuff. But one thing me and Taryn knew, beginning Life Community Church, we knew this, that a kids' ministry was necessary. It was not an option. Church planting, you can't do everything at once. It's just not the nature of it. You got to grow into ministries. You know, you got to grow into certain ministries and what you're doing, and that takes time. That frustrates some people because we don't have everything all at once. And I just say, just be patient, join us, and help contribute, and maybe God will lay it on your heart to do that. Amen? You know? Amen? So just come join us. Come join us. Maybe we'll get it when you come. You know, I like the guy. I said, Pastor, I think we should do this. And the pastor said, well, praise God, I do too, and you the man to do it. You know? So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here's the deal. So we began to pray and think, what minimum amount of people? And back then, we didn't have you all. We didn't have you guys. We didn't know anybody that was going to come to this church. We might have had a service and nobody would have come. We didn't know any of you all 9 months ago. Nobody. We had a team from our mama church, Buck Creek, and they just were here till we could replace them, basically. But one thing we knew is that we had to have a kids' ministry. Everything else could come later, but not our children. One reason is you're sitting here with a baby and she's screaming on your lap and you're not going to get anything out of the sermon, and your neighbor's not going to either. Amen? You know, it's just not going to happen. So we knew that we had to have that. We knew. And we were serious. We were serious about loving these kids. My grandpa used to say that a church without the noise of children in it is a dead church. I agree. Bring on the babies. Bring them on. We want them. We want kids. We want little ones. Bring them. They are welcome. They are welcome. And Life Community, let me give you some foresight. When we get a building or lease a building or build a building, whenever that time comes, we ain't going to complain if Kool-Aid gets spilt on the carpet. We're going to praise God that there's kids that spill the Kool-Aid. Y'all with me on that? We're going to say, thank you, Jesus. There's kids here to spill the Kool-Aid. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to be happy about that. But we must be ready to remove obstacles. Remove obstacles from kids' lives. Now, what does that mean, Kenny? It means this. If there's anything we're doing that's hindering a child from coming to know the Lord, we got to stop doing that. We got to stop doing it. Which means that in our church, if we don't have ministries that adequately meet the children, we need to start those ministries. Amen on that? We need to start those, begin those. Why are we beginning kids ministry on Sunday nights? Because right now we don't have anything for third, fourth, and fifth grade kids. We don't have anything. Right now we don't. But come when school starts, we will. Now what does it take for you to do a kids ministry on Sunday night? What does it take for a vacation Bible school to happen? You ready? People willing to serve, right? People willing to do it. People willing to step up and do it. One of the biggest obstacles that reaching children, one of the biggest obstacles that we have of reaching children is that people, for whatever reason, are scared of little people. They're scared of it. They think this, well, I will just mess up a child's life. If I spend 1 hour with a child, 1 hour, I will do more psychological damage on that kid than anything else. That's what we believe. And I'm sitting there thinking, have you not watched the cart? Hey, if SpongeBob doesn't psychologically damage them, you're not going to hurt them. You hear me on that? You're not going to phase them, all right? You're not, but you don't know how weird I am. Listen, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You really are. You really are. God is looking for the availability. Now, other obstacles can come through not being willing to serve with kids. That's a big obstacle, not willing to serve. But Jesus is telling us, don't rebuke the children. Don't stop the kids. Bring them. Fill the house up with babies. Fill them with kids. Bring them. You know, make sure you got the ministries. Make sure you got things that minister to mom, minister to dad. Make sure that you got these things that people know we love kids. Make sure they know. Another way that we have obstacles, now, I'm just telling you this, is that maybe we know Jesus and we profess Christ as Lord, but we don't live like Jesus at home. And when the little babies and the kiddos are seeing a show on Sunday morning, y'all with me on this? The Jesus talk, the church talk, hallelujah, praise God, waving your hands, and you get in the car, and it's foul language, it's a disrespect of God, dirty jokes, all in front of your children. I'm going to tell you something, it's hard, it's harsh, but here it comes, you ready? They're going to think you and your Jesus are a joke. They are. And then they're going to become a teenager. And they're going to say, Mom, Dad, you preached it, but you didn't walk it. Tough, amen? Woo! It's tough. Now, we're not saying that you got to walk through those doors and the magic eraser comes on and then all of a sudden you come in here, you know, you could. It's raining cats and dogs, and you're just depressed and sad and angered, and you walk through, the magic eraser comes. Hey, I'm so happy now. I'm not saying that's what you got to be. I'm just saying be real. Be real. Tell your kids you struggle. Tell them you mess up. And then ask God to show you. Ask Him to show you how to improve that. But don't be an obstacle. Moms and dads, watch your kids watch. You hear me on that? And now in today's culture, hear me on this. Be careful. Careful with online usage. Be careful with Facebook. I'm just telling you. Be careful with allowing a child to have so much worldly influence, bam, right in their face. I know they want it. I know they want the iPod. I know they want an iPhone. Just last week, I was talking to a lady. She said, pray for my daughter. I said, what's up? She said, we let her install an app that on her iPod, and it's where you could text somebody, but you don't have to have a phone to text it. And And we started getting obscene messages within 1 hour of installing this app. 1 hour of installing it. She's 11 years old. Wow. Are we living in a crooked and perverse generation? Yes, we are. Now, will they hate you for removing Facebook from their phones? Probably. But then they'll love you. Amen? And then they'll love you. Hey, they don't need you to be their friend. They need you to be mom and dad. Y'all with me on that? They don't need you to be a friend. They need you to be mom and dad. That comes first. That comes first. That comes first. Obstacles removed. Jesus wants us not to hinder the children. He wants us to allow them to come to Him and to know them. So monitor your Facebook, monitor the internet, monitor your TV, monitor what goes in your music player, what goes in their music player. And again, all the kids are going to go out here. That's the worst sermon I ever heard. Can he preach ever? Blah, 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 blah. But we care for you. Amen? We care for you. Third, I want you to see this. Christ wants children to be brought to Him. Christ wants obstacles removed. Third, Christ wants to teach us through children. I love, this is the best part of this message. This is the best part. Christ wants to teach us through children. Look what He says. He says, don't stop them from coming to Me, verse 14. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is made up of people like this. There's something about looking at a kiddo. And you see their fragileness. You see their innocence. You see their love, their big smile. You see the joy on them. You see that. And you see their humility. Don't you? Daddy, can you help me do this? Mommy, can you help me do this? Mommy, I need to go potty. Mommy, I need to draw this picture. I need that crayon. I need this. I need that. And it drives you nuts sometimes. You know, it does. But what about their humility? They know they need you, don't they? They know they need you. And they're calling on you. Jesus is wanting to teach us about that. He's not telling us to be naive. He's teaching us about humility. Now, when we get older, we think, I got this. I'm good with this. I'm all right with that. I'm gravy. I'm kosher. Everything's good. But really, in all reality, we should be more like a child and saying, Father, I need You in this area of my life. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I need You, Father, to help me. Father, I need You to give me the words to talk to that coworker on how to share Jesus with him. Father, I need You to help me to raise my children. Father, I need You to be in my marriage. Father, I need You. Jesus, I need You. And here's what's awesome about Jesus. Here's what's awesome about God. He doesn't get annoyed with that. He doesn't run out of patience. It's unlimited. It is His love. It is unconditional. It is his joy. He loves it when His children are calling on Him in need of Him. He loves that. And He says, cast your cares upon Me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto Me. Jesus is sitting up here and He's saying, I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what you're struggling with. It's not too big for Me. Bring it to Me. You aren't going to scare Me. You aren't going to frustrate Me. I'm not going to run out of patience. Why? Because you're My child and I love you. That's our Father. And I think when we begin to really understand how important it is to care for children, that they need us, as the video said earlier, they need us, you begin to see yourself in light of God as your Father. And you too are saying, Father, I need You. I need You. I can't do this on my own. I need You. Oh, how some of us would benefit if we weren't so old in our spirits. Amen. If we weren't so old in our spirits. And I feel you. I'm there. Somebody the other day told me, he said, Kenny, you get more frustrated than a 50-year-old man. He said, you're only 30. What's wrong with you? You know, that's what a guy told me. He was 60, by the way, the guy told me that. And I said, I don't know. I need to chill out, I guess. Start taking it to God. Take a chill pill. Come to Jesus, you know. But here's the deal. He wants to teach us through our little ones. And I just love that. I'm not trying to ramble, but I just love it. Now that kid can be kicking you in the back of the seat. Are we there yet? 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 And you're just about to pull your hair out. Amen? And then our God says, he listens to us as we kick the back of his seat. Lord, are we there yet? Lord, can I have this yet? Why haven't you done this? God, 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 why haven't you done this? Blah, 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 blah. Same thing. Except he doesn't lose it and pull the car over and just starts going nuts. He doesn't do that. He's awesome. He's awesome. Now, why am I preaching this sermon? Because we're getting ready to start focusing on kids. We're getting ready to get real serious, real fast about children at Life Community. Real serious, real fast about children. So with that being said, we got to step up. Amen? We got to step up. We got to step up, and we got to learn how to serve children. And guys, I'm just telling you, driving around the Heartlands in the summertime, you can't drive 10 feet without seeing a kid somewhere out there playing. Man, are they in church? I don't know if they are or not. I don't know. They might be. They might not be either. Are moms and dads in church? I don't know. But we're going to do our best to love them and to wrap our arms around them. Maybe today, you don't know where to start, what to do with this sermon. Weird sermon, talking about kids. But I will tell you this. If we're not kid-friendly, and we're not okay with babies all over the place, and kids doing crazy stuff, babies crying, kids doing this and that, we're not going to grow. Did you know that? Y'all with me on that? We're not going to grow. Now, there's a lot of babies here. We like it. Amen. It's all right. Bring them. Let them cry. It's okay. It's okay. Bring them. It's okay. It's all right. This is for them. But it all boils down to this, is that God is wanting us to have a heart to shepherd our children. He wants us to have a heart to love these little ones. So maybe today, here's what we do. Maybe today you have a child on your heart today. Maybe it's a son or a daughter, a grandson or a granddaughter. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a niece or a nephew or a cousin. And you just need to pray for that child. And you just need to say, Lord, surround that child. Dad's here in a few minutes when we get ready to do our invitation time. If your child is here in the service, put your arm around them and pray for them. Pray a prayer of blessing over them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Lead like Jesus. Be a man. Be a woman. Lead like Jesus. Maybe they're not here and you just need to come and pray for them. And then maybe somebody is saying today, Kenny, I don't have children, but I want to serve children. Well, praise the Lord. We got a sign-up sheet right there. Hallelujah. We good. We good. Hallelujah. We good. But it's time to serve and to love on those kids through serving. Through serving. Jesus loves kids. We need to, too. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you for King Jesus. We know, Lord, and we are grateful for his heart for little ones. And Father, how I would pray right now that you would give us compassion, understanding, patience, and love for children. God, we would pray that you would help us daily to care for them. And Father, if there is a child here today that doesn't know you, I pray that they will begin understanding Jesus. That God, that they would just, maybe they're not there yet all the way, but they're getting there. And I just pray that you'll help them. God, I pray you'll encourage moms and dads in this room right now, Lord, not to give up, but to be committed to a local church and to model Jesus to them. They need them. So I pray for moms and dads right now that you'd help them. We all fall. We all fail. We're not perfect, but God, we do need you. So Lord, I ask you to bless them. Be with our Bible school, Father. Lord, I pray that we'll be so happy, so excited. We'll have enough volunteers. Lord, I pray you'll give us enough volunteers. Lord, I pray that you would give us enough helpers for Sunday night when we start that, when school starts. I pray, Lord, for every child in the Heartland subdivision. I pray for every child in Trinity Hills. And God, I pray that they would know Jesus. I pray for every child on this street beside us, every child in that apartment complex. God, I pray that you, Lord, would move in their lives. Watch over them. Speak into them. And God, if we can, use us to do that, God. Lord, we love you. We pray in your name. Amen. Would you just stand up? Maybe you need to come and pray today. Make a decision. I'm here. God is calling you to do that. Maybe you need to come pray over your child. Maybe you just need to come grab your kiddo and pray over them during this time. I challenge you.